Okay, we'll see if we can get through this. That's not going to give me anything, is it?
No.
Dang it. Nice try. I'm going to talk about turning point. We all hear about evaluation and things like that, and it's one system that I found I really like to collect a lot of data with not a lot of time. A little background. You got the difference between program evaluation and impact reporting, and that's an important part of an extension program. And I talk about program evaluation is for my benefit. Impact reporting, it's also for my benefit, but it's also for the administrator's benefits and those who are funding the program. So, and I also say program evaluation is for my benefit and my audience's benefit, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on. For evaluation to be beneficial, it must be simple, must involve a majority of the participants, and it must be focused on the education program goals and objectives. First and foremost. And I think probably the most critical thing with this is start with the end in mind. I've gotten known at WSU, Washington State University Extension, as the clicker person. And people go, well, we're doing this program. Can you come in and help us with the evaluation? Okay, what's your objectives? You already have everything planned out and everything else. Well, just, I don't know, make up some questions and ask them. Okay, thank you. Great idea. Awesome. That'll work great. Put in a bucket of crap, you get out a bucket of crap. So, when you're setting up a program from the get-go, figure out what you want that audience when they show up, what you want them walking out the door with, and you make sure that they walk out the door with it. Turning point technology, this clicker system or whatever, I have about 80 of them in my program. I have access to probably about 200 if I truly needed it. I have a couple of the response things, the USB things, so I can hand them out to break them down for other colleagues and stuff to use as well. It's an audio response system, PowerPoint, and it transmits, and you can show the data instantly for the audience. The one thing I think people get caught up on is they're going, okay, I'm going to ask you some questions now. Don't treat your audience like a bunch of lab rats. Make it fun for them to give them it, to make their information that they're providing you, make it fun for them. Don't treat them like a bunch of lab rats. I've seen too many of that. I'm going to ask you a post question now. Did you learn anything from my presentation? Likert scale 1 to 7. 7, you liked it a lot. Don't do that. They don't like it. And this is what the screen looks like on PowerPoint, on the turning point when you put it on. It's just an extra piece of software. It kind of fell off of this screen. If you were to look up on the where it says file, home, insert, blah, 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 on down the line, there's a turning point button up there. And that has all your different options on it. New, and you set your slides up then. The one thing I do not like about turning point is you almost have to have your computer with you to do it. I couldn't run you through a practice question because I don't have the turning point software on this laptop. And you do need to open up your presentation in turning point and then pull up the scale, pull it up. That's the one thing I don't like about it is I do need my own laptop, but I use it for other things because I write on the screen, so it's not that big of a deal. But that's just what you can see all the different buttons to click through. And then when you're actually polling an audience, you can actually see up here, you see up in that upper, to your guys' right-hand corner, response of 20. You know, have you heard me talk about wireworms? Yes, no, you press one, the button. And you can actually see the audience responding. So you can see how many, like, okay, I know I handed out 40 of these suckers. Come on, people, wake up. I'm only at 20. I need a few more. Then we get to 25 or whatever I'm anticipating. Then we can move on. Okay, now I'm going to talk a little bit more about the specifics and how I've used it to assess one specific project that I have. I have a lot of irons in the fire. The wireworm project is one of them. I manage a research facility. The wireworm project is a multi-million dollar program I have. I have my other extension stuff. And so I don't have a lot of time for assessment. This one, when I set it up, I really want the farmers, I want to improve the farmers and crop consultants. I want to improve their overall wireworm knowledge. I want them to be able to identify wireworms. I want them to be able to identify wireworm crop damage. And I want them to take a larger interest in scouting for this pest in their field so they can make a more educated decision based with their insecticide treatments. And when these targets are reached, I can then adjust my focus to work on other pieces of the program. If I have an audience out there that can 70, 80% of them can already identify wireworms, why do I need to bore them to death with near 15 minutes of wireworm identification talk? That last 20% will never get it anyhow. Some of the questions I start off with. And I ask this not only if I'm giving a wireworm presentation, the beauty of this, I could be talking nitrogen use efficiency to a group of audience. I say, hold on, I've been doing a lot of work on wireworms. I have a couple questions. I want to see where people are across the region with wireworms. Please take time to answer a few questions for me. Have you heard me talk about wireworms? Yes or no? In this particular case, 42 were yes, 58% no. Joke about how 58% of you have really been hiding. I'm going to catch you sooner or later. The next one, what's your knowledge level regarding wireworm control? One, are you an expert? And no, wireworm what? Ask that. And of course, I get the results. I'm like, you guys look like you're giving me the bird. If you want me to shut up, I will. And of course, I use the Likert scale of 1 to 7 here. Next question, can you identify wireworms? Yes, no, or maybe. And I ask the maybe because I want to give the audience, make them feel a little bit more comfortable and give them a way out. Some people, I think I can, or, you know, they're not quite sure, so I do give them a way out on this one. Can you identify wireworms in this particular audience? 67%. If I have an audience, 67%, I'm not spending much time boring them to death on wireworm identification. We're going to jump on to some of the other stuff. Can you identify wireworm damage? 60%, same thing. I'm going to move on. Do you scout or have someone scout for wireworms? Yes, no, or maybe. 42%, 42%, 15. So we may spend a little bit more time talking about scouting with the 42% no and some of the importances of it. So those are a series of questions. What was the first question that I asked a group of growers? Anyone remember? Have you heard me before? Yes. That's important. I give this presentation. I've given it for 5, 6 years around the area in a lot of different places. What about this one? Can you identify wireworm species on your farm? Well, look at this. 83% no. This is a new question I added last year. I expect the whole audience to say no. I know these the ones who answered the 10% here because I work with them individually. And this is where I talk about, I don't expect the audience to know this, but this is a place that, as an audience, we need to get to. And I'm going to spend more time talking about wireworm species identification and why it's important to you. I'm using this technology to set my educational goal up for the future. And that's where I'm focused on. And this is what's going to be really important in my presentation, is you better understand wireworm species. Even though I used to make fun of it in the past as a stupid entomological thing. Okay, now by the numbers. First question I asked was, have you heard me before? The overall data set that I collect is for my program evaluation. And that's primarily what I use to assess my audience where that and where I need to be putting my outreach focus. But then the data set, I break it into two groups. The group that has heard me versus the group that has not heard me. And that is what I use for to develop my impacts. And I'm looking at the percent change of information between those who have heard me versus those who have not heard me. By the numbers right here, this last year I polled five different groups, audiences. Some of these I may have made not talking about wireworms, and other ones I talked about it. So you can go through and look at the numbers of who heard me, who hasn't. Overall, 163 people were polled. 81% had not heard me, 82 people had heard me. So almost 50% of everyone I talked to heard me, and the other 50% had not heard my talk on wireworms. So I have about an 81% response rate right here. I go through the data. If you say you're an expert in wireworms and you can't identify wireworms, you can't identify wireworm damage, you're part of that piece that I kicked out from 163 to 200 that got kicked out. Or if you didn't complete the quiz, all of it, you got kicked out. But I have a very good response rate from my audience and potential audience here. As we see, 163 people, 82 and 81. And that's the difference of what I'm looking at here when I start looking at the impacts. Now, the wireworm program evaluation. As I said, this is more for my program and where we're at. 65% can identify wireworms. I had my initial target goal is to be 70%. I'm asking them beforehand if I add that other 81% into this, I think I can safely say that I've reached my target across the region. And this is when I set up 70% a long time ago. This is what I wanted everyone in the region to be able to assess wireworms at or identify. I figured I'd never get higher than that. 49 can identify wireworms, the damage from wireworms. I initially wanted 60, but when I add those other numbers in from those 81 who had not previously heard me, who heard my presentation, I think I can safely say 60% of the people across the region can identify wireworms, wireworm damage. I don't have to spend any more time talking about this piece of my outreach. And 47% of them scout for wireworms. I initially wanted 50%. I think we're pretty close on that as well. So my program evaluation on my wireworm outreach, I think I'm done with this. I can now move on to something else. It's not going to get any higher. I'm not going to beat on a dead horse to get it any higher. In my evaluation program, I think my targets have been reached. I think that's important when you go through to set it up, what your target is. Your targets can be adjusted, but set up your target. You got to know when you're finished with the program. Now onto the knowledge data that I collected. Right here's what the data looks like between this group from this past year. Those who have not heard me, their average knowledge, their self-assessed knowledge was 3.53. The group, that 82 people who had heard me, they assessed their knowledge at a 4.6 on average. That's a 31% increase right there. And when I work with WSU and the staff department going through some of the stuff and looking at my data set, we went ahead and we ran it through what's called a logistic regression analysis here. And you can see I have highlighted on knowledge, that's highly significant change. So I can say, based off of this piece of information here and this data, what's the impact statement I come off of this? Those who have heard my presentation are 31% more knowledgeable regarding wireworm control than those who have not heard my presentation. And that's significant. Those who identify impact statement. Those who have heard my presentation are 45% more capable of identifying wireworms. Right here's my old baseline. 45, that's the original number. We started with Barney the Chipmunk from the chemical company, who's been talking wireworms as well. He's increased the knowledge about 7%. Those who have heard my presentation are 28% more capable of identifying wireworm damage. The old baseline was 25. Those who have heard my presentation are 22% more likely to scout for wireworms. And my old baseline was 30 before I started this whole program. So in conclusion, a turning point is a quick and easy way to collect valuable data to evaluate programs and develop impact statements. Participation goes through turning point, you kick out a lot of good stuff. So with that, thank you. Thanks for the organizer of this. And I have no time for questions.
Yes, you do. We have a minute or so.
I have a minute. Yes. I can go back and look at the data set. If they answered one on that, I take all those who answered one. They go in this pile. All those who answered no in my data set, it drops into an Excel spreadsheet. So then you just sort by those who have heard you versus those who haven't heard you.
But everybody in the room is plugged.
Yeah.
How do you know which one?
It records. The number won't tell me that it was you, but it will say clicker number 5397, and it'll say what your response was on all the questions. When I get my data set, which is cool.
Where do you get that?
Turning Point, online.
You have to go online to get it?
To buy the clickers or...
No, to get that data.
Oh, that's one thing that's critical when you're at the end of the last come up with things says, do you want to save data from session? Click yes, otherwise you lose it and you get really mad. I did that the very first time I used it. You just click save and it shows up on your computer.
It saves as an Excel spreadsheet for you.
Yeah.
I've never seen it where it tracked the same answer or the answer.
Yeah, that's the cool part of it.
So if there are people who use it for coursework too, and they can actually assign a clicker number to an individual student for the entire semester.
Yeah.
And then they're able to track that for that same person throughout the entire semester. And there are two or three other ones that I know, like iClicker. It's very similar. They're all.
And there's, I don't have my phone. I'll use this phone for an example. There's now apps out there for Poll Anywhere. You can put apps on your phone to do it. But my audience is, they'll be going, how much is my data plan? How much am I charging to hit this? So they'll be really concerned about their data plan. So I don't use it with my grower audience. But if I'm using students and stuff, there's actually apps out there that they can input information with their phone by texting you.
I'm saying, I have a flip phone.
Yes, exactly.
So, thank you so much, Aaron.
Thanks.